Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Shout at the Oval podcast. Happy New Year to all our listeners for the first podcast here of 2022. I am pleased to say that our guest is Glenthorn centre forward Jordan Jenkins. Before we get on to the podcast and I talk to Jordan and tell you a bit about the podcast, I was thinking I could maybe do something a bit different this week since it's the first one of 2022 and we've just come out of 2021. I thought I would do a bit of a review of the year and look back on 2021 as a Glenthorn supporter. Hopefully you hear that the quality of the audio in this intro is a lot better than the previous podcasts, and the reason for that is because I got a new mic for Christmas, so that means that although this podcast with Jordan was recorded just after the Glenavon game, so the quality of the sound and that won't be as good. Everything moving forward will be. So thankfully we managed to pick up a win on the road against Coleraine after the recording. So me and Jordan talk about the Glenavon game, you see. So thank God, because we were quite upbeat. It would have been a nightmare if we came away with no points from both Coleraine and Linfield. And then there was that nervy draw with Linfield on Boxing Day at the National Stadium. Obviously playing a large chunk of that game with 10 men. I think we're lucky to come away with a point there, but we'll take it. And it extended the run to 14 games. So hopefully you're listening to this and we've just extended it again to 15 games. Obviously, I don't know at this stage. So, review of 2021. The January window was as frantic as the previous year. There was the early addition of Reece Marshall before the window actually opened, and then the late addition of Conor McMenamin on the final day as we won the battle for his signature. And that move seen Paul O'Neill going in the opposite direction. There've been two excellent signings to date. I think Reece Marshall is really an unsung hero of this team, and well, Conor McMenamin, he's speaks for himself with his goals, assists, general all-round play. He's been a super signing, and hopefully his injury isn't too bad, because we really missed him last season when he got injured. It's sort of our season tailed off a wee bit after that happened. The year started off well with home wins against Carrick and Portadown, but unfortunately our first defeat of the calendar year came at Seaview, which is a ground that we typically struggle at, but that hoodoo would soon come to an end in the latter months of 2021. The Glens left it late against Cliftonville, winning it via a Jamie McDonough thunderbolt from 25 yards. There was some excellent moments in 2021, some great goals. Of course, the Rory Donnelly header, the late goal by Jay Donnelly as well in one of the games, and it was sort of the fans weren't allowed in, so they missed some big moments. But thankfully, we had Aaron Agnew and Leaper to talk us through them with the excellent streams at home. But it really, you felt like there would have been some really great games to be at. Leaving it late became a bit of a habit, with Conor McMenamin grabbing a late winner against Linfield at the National Stadium in the rearranged Boxing Day fixture. The next big two meeting of the year, speaking of games that would have been excellent to be at, it was much more comfortable for the Glens, running out 3-1 winners at the Oval, and that included Reece Marshall's first goal for the club, and what a lovely goal that was. Fans continued to be shut out of games for the remainder of the season, but we found ourselves in a title race come the split, albeit with very little margin for error. A home draw with Linfield, which seen Robbie McDade miss the penalty, blew an opportunity to go within touching distance of the summit, and then draws with Coleraine home and away ultimately ended the title hopes of both clubs. I think it was said at the time that we cut each other's throats, which is a pretty accurate description of what happened there. It was a disappointing Irish Cup run in what was a condensed Irish Cup campaign. We got a bye in the fifth round, and then we, with multiple clubs outside of the top division dropping out of the competition, they sort of squeezed all the games together to try and complete it as soon as possible. I have to say, I didn't think the Irish Cup was going to happen last season. I thought we were actually going to struggle to finish the season in general with the amount of postponements and stuff like that. There was large gaps from clubs getting games called off, but I got there in the end. It was a win against Cliftonville in the Irish Cup. It's seen us go out the following week. Actually, we played our next Irish Cup game the following week, and it was defeat the Crusaders 1-0 at home. They took an early lead, and then we really struggled to try and break them down after that. So the season ended with no silverware, unfortunately. But the summer transfer window was quite busy. We've seen the arrival of goalkeeper Aaron McCarry with Jamie McDonnell going in the opposite direction for that move. And we also signed another goalkeeper in Ross Glendinning from Ballymena. Of course, Ross's dad, Mark Glendinning, is a Glentoran legend. We also signed Bobby Burns, Jordan Jenkins, and perhaps our most high-profile summer signing would be Shea McCartan, with the Irish League transfer record alleged to be broken when in the race to sign him. As well as Jamie McDonnell leaving the club, we seen the departures of Dale Gorman, Keith Caron, Stephen Gordon, Johnny Fraser and Chris Gallagher also left the club, with Dale Colleen, Rory Brown and James McCarthy also going on loan. Something that isn't talked about very much, we haven't really heard of Cameron Stewart. I believe that Cameron Stewart has had his contract terminated by mutual consent. I know there was a bid there from Carrick Rangers last year, which he rejected the move as he's seen his future at, back at the centre half position, and they wanted to sign him as a forward. A disappointing two-legged tie in Europe against TNS, seeing the Glens exit at the first hurdle with a depleted squad after several players were told to self-isolate. That was an incident which ultimately would bring an end to Chris Gallagher's Glentoran career. The season started with a hard-fought win away to Dungannon on a roasting summer's day. But an away defeat the following week to Cliftonville dampened spirits. And we'd really hope to kickstart our season with victories over Warrenpoint and Ballymena. The Ballymena game in particular was an excellent performance at home on a Friday night with a massive crowd. But the Glens would go on to lose heavily to both Linfield and Crusaders back-to-back at the Oval. Also dropping points in disappointing fashion to Coleraine and Portadown. And there was a lot of discontent amongst the Glen men, particularly after the two home defeats. But the game against Portadown, it seemed to act as a bit of a catalyst for the season. From all accounts, the players sort of re-galvanised in the change room that day. They got together and said, you know, we need to go back to basics, we need to not concede. That's something the players and the management have said that they did themselves. And that really did kickstart our season. So at the time of recording, we are on a 14-game unbeaten run, level on points with Linfield at the top of the table. We ended our hoodoo away to Crusaders. We ended our hoodoo away to Coleraine. We've put in some really good performances. We're keeping clean sheets. We're scoring plenty of goals. Jay Donnelly's absolutely on fire. And little did we know that our midfield partnership that we were crying out for was there all along. It was on the bench. We have Shannon Clucas and Joe Crowe have formed a real formidable partnership, and unfortunately it was the injury to Luke McCulloch sort of forced that change, and they've been excellent. They really have. I'm hopeful to get maybe Shannon on the podcast in the coming weeks, because he's really turned his Glentoran career around. You know, after that red card last season, well, the two red cards, but in particular the one at Linfield, there was people, you know, calling for his head, saying that he shouldn't really be playing for the club. But he seems like such a massive character in the changing room. All the players, every player I speak to, always mentions Shannon Clucas and the influence he has in there. So fair play to him and Joe Crowe, of course, who his game time has been limited since he joined the Glens, but he's really come to the fore, and even playing centre half there against Linfield on Boxing Day, I thought he was excellent. So we're level on points at the top of the table at the time of recording. Obviously don't know how the Lauren game's gone. And the transfers of Sean Murray, Michael O'Connor and Darren Cole means the club has a head start on its rivals when it comes to bedding in our new signings. They're hopefully going to be three excellent signings, especially the signing of Sean Murray. Really excites me. He comes with glowing references from his time at Dundalk. And I've watched some clips of him, and he just seems to tick all the boxes for me. So spirits are high at the Oval, with a proper title challenge being mounted this season. The performances are definitely matching expectation. There is no silverware in 2021, but it's safe to say that we've certainly grown as a club, and the project, as Mick would refer to it, is coming along nicely. And because of that project coming along so nicely, Mick's just been rewarded with another two-year contract, which is good to see for him, and hopefully we can really kick on. So 2021, not bad all round. Unfortunately we can go to most of the games, certainly making up for it this year. The atmosphere away to Coleraine was unbelievable. The atmosphere against Linfield was unbelievable. It was great to see the stadium packed out. North Stand full topper deck, basically full with Clan men. It was really a shame that they kept the attendance under 10,000, so not to have to go through the rigmarole of vaccine passports, because I think you could have broke the record in there. You probably could have had 13,000 14,000 people. There was so many people looking tickets that couldn't get them. So maybe in the future. So things are going really well. And here's hoping that 2022 will end with at least one piece of silverware. So now on to the podcast with our guest this week, Jordan Jenkins. Now, Jordan joined Glentoran from Glenavon in the summertime, and it was maybe a bit of a surprise acquisition. You know, we've got an array of attacking talent. Jordan is an East Belfast boy. He went to Ashfield Boys. He grew up supporting the Glens, and he's actually now made the move into full-time football. But what's maybe a bit strange would be that a player who breaks into the first team probably wants to go on to a club where they're going to get more first team games, which he was getting at Glenavon, and he was getting the Carrick on loan. But he's actually came to Glentoran and he's playing a lot of reserve team football. He's only made 3 appearances this season, but he scored a lot of goals for the reserves. I know he was on the bench on Boxing Day for the first team, and it would be good to see him get his chance. But I mean, he touches on it in the podcast. How can he say anything when Jay Donnelly is in the form that he's in? So it was really good to speak to Jordan. He texted me after and said that this was his first ever interview. So that was good to hear. I mean, you couldn't tell it was his first interview. He did very well. So here you go, the first podcast of 2022 with my guest, Jordan Jenkins. Hello and welcome to the latest episode, the first episode of 2022 of the Shout at the Oval podcast. And today I have with me Glentoran forward Jordan Jenkins. Jordan, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
Jordan, we're just going to talk through your career. It's a bit of an unorthodox career, I suppose, with the way you've went from Glenavon to Carrick to here, but obviously you went from a first team to a reserve team and stuff, and we'll get into that. Just touch on the season so far, I suppose, for the Glentoran first team. Were you at the game last night? And it was a good result. Well, just for the listeners, sorry, last night was the Glenavon match, because this is going out just before Lorn.
Yeah, the game last night was it was a tough game, to be fair, and you know what way Glenavon's going to play, so they just like to get forward and be direct as possible. But we done well and got the 2 goals, and then we were able just to see the game out. But overall, this season, we've had a couple of not great results, with like the Cruise result and the Linfield result. But other than that, we've done well. And over the last 12 games, we're unbeaten now. So we're starting to hit a bit of momentum, and hopefully we can continue it over Christmas and into the new year.
Yeah, it's 12 games unbeaten. Got Cody in here on Wednesday night, which is a massive, massive game. We went on a run last season of 12 games twice. Spent 12 games, then I think we lost 1 or 2, and then we went on another 12 games. So we are capable of putting those runs together.
Yeah, Corian is definitely, it's a big win. Well, we need the win on Wednesday. If not, a draw is the least we can take. We need to take a point getting into Boxing Day's game. So we'll see what Wednesday brings, but there's going to be a lot of fixtures in the next couple of weeks and months coming ahead. So we'll have to pick up as many points as we can and just keep building the way we are and getting results.
Yeah, exactly. And by the time this podcast goes out, things could look completely different, obviously, because we're going to have Corey and Linfield in between there, and then Lorn will just have finished. So fingers crossed that we're sitting pretty, hopefully at the top of the table by then. But we'll get stuck in to the sort of questions I've got for you here. Talk me through your career. Where did you start? Were you at a youth club team, like Ridgeway Rovers, was it called, before you made the move?
Yeah, I was at Ridgeway I was probably about 11, so it was. And then I'd played there until I was maybe 16 before I joined Glenavon. But my last year at Ridgeway, everyone else was moving on to bigger clubs. And we had a very good squad for the years that we were there. Andy Masson was in charge and we were winning lots of cups and we were doing well throughout the years. But the last year I was there, I wasn't playing. Or the second last year I was there, I wasn't playing as much. And then other boys were moving on. So I stayed behind for an extra year and played as much as I could. And I'd done well that year. And then that's what took me to Glenavon in 2016.
And have you always played as a forward?
Yeah, when I was 9-a-side, I used to play centre mid. But when I started to play striker, I didn't really want to change position or go anywhere else. So I preferred to play striker and score my goals.
So you're an East Belfast lad. We were just talking off earlier. You went to Ashfield, like so many former Glentoran players. And all of a sudden you joined Glenavon, which is a bit of a jaunt for a 16-year-old. How did that come about?
Well, Andy was actually at Glenavon at the time, Andy Mawson, and he had took me at Ridgeway, obviously, and Gary Hamilton had been down watching a few of our games, and that brought me down, and they said, look, they were going to give me 6 weeks. It wasn't pre-season for the reserves to impress them. So I'd played, I think it was my first game or something for the reserves, and I come on at halftime and scored a hat-trick, and after that, I signed really after that game for the reserves, and then I think it was like maybe a couple of weeks later or a month later, I'd played for the first team in the Charity Shield final against Crews, and then I scored the winner in that game, and then that's really just where it all took off.
It all sort of feels like you've been one of these players, because you're only 21, but it feels like you've been about forever. And I think that's because you made your debut quite young, and probably because you did score on your debut. Do you remember getting that shout cutting into the first team? What was it like, sort of Gary pulling you aside and saying you're going to make your debut here?
See, to be fair, I actually didn't even know until the Friday night. I think it was like 8 o'clock or 7:30. I got a phone call from Andy, and he says, "Oh, you're with the first team tomorrow." So it was a big shock, and I didn't know really what to expect because I hadn't been training with him or anything. So I was a bit nervous going in as a 16-year-old. And when I went down, it was fine. Everyone welcomed me, and it was good to get down and see what the first team was like. And when you're sitting on the bench for that 90 minutes or whatever it was, or 70 minutes or something, you're starting to get nervous. And then when he called me to come on, I was ready to go, but I was very, very nervous because the crowd, it was probably the biggest crowd that I've ever played in front of. So when I went down and then I come on, and after like 6 or 7 minutes, I'd scored. So it settled me down a bit.
And are you nervous when you're on the pitch? I always wonder this because I mean, I get nervous before matches, watching matches. I think the Irish Cup final, the Glens win against Ballymena, the last one, like I've never been as nervous in my life. And I was thinking, how do the players feel?
I don't really, nerves doesn't really get to me because you just go out, you prepare yourself, you focus. I just get myself into a routine every match day of what I'm going to do constantly. And I just prepare myself and try and be as chilled as possible, because sometimes when you get nervous, then it doesn't go as well. And you start to panic and all when you're on the pitch. So I don't really feel nerves. I just like to relax and keep myself chilled when it comes to matches.
I went to a talk once at Queen's University. It was by a sports psychologist, and he would work for major sports clubs, and one of them was Real Madrid. He said that before every single game, Zinedine Zidane was sick in the toilet with nerves before every single game. So I think if Zinedine Zidane can be nervous before going out on the pitch, then it doesn't really affect his performance, then no one else should worry about it.
No, definitely not. Like, the only thing that maybe would happen to me is you're constantly going to the toilet to have a pee or something like that, but I wouldn't be sick or nothing like that.
So when you broke into the Glenavon first team, there was a bit of hype around you, in the sense that Gary Hamilton described you as an unbelievable talent and one of the best finishers he's ever seen. Like, that's high praise from a player who I could say is probably the best finisher I've ever seen in Gary Hamilton.
Yeah, well, to be fair, when I was down, and when you're down at such a young age and you're training with them, like, it doesn't really faze you because you're just getting down. It's an experience for you to go and train with them boys because they've all played at the highest level for so many years. But getting praise like that, it helps you. So it does, especially when you're a young player, because then it sees that someone has the confidence or the belief in you. So it was good to have that, someone who believed in me that way.
There was some amount of talent in that Glenavon team that you played in, or players that you would have trained with even. A lot of them sort of made moves elsewhere. Joel Cooper, Mark Sykes, Reece Marshall, of course. It must have been a great team to train with, play with.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm very lucky to play with half the players that I played with, because I played with the likes of Sammy Klingon, I've played with Paddy McCourt, I've played with Michael O'Connor, who's there now, obviously, at Glenavon. And then you talk about the likes of Sykesy, Bobby, Joel and Josh Daniels and all, who have all played across the water. So I've played with a lot of high talented players who have made that step across the water. So I'm very lucky.
I mean, when you list off the players Glenavon had, it's some team, you know, that's some achievement to put them players, get those players into that team and get them all together. I'm not quite sure how Gary managed it, but it must have been a real boost for everyone every time he was signing these star players.
Yeah, to be fair, my first year with the first team, I was 2017. There was a lot of good players, and there was the likes of players in my position would have been Kevin Branagh and Guy Bates and all players like that. And it, for me, obviously, it was harder to get in because I was so young and he had so many good players in my position. And it's sort of the same now where Jay's on fire for the Glens and he's my position. So it just works like that. So it does sometimes.
And who was in your time at Glenavon, who would you say was the best player you played with?
Definitely Mark Sykes.
Mark Sykes, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, 100%.
You were part of that Glenavon squad who defeated Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's Molde at Morrenview Park, isn't that right? And I mean,
yeah,
that was some squad. It included Haaland. What was that like?
That was my first time ever being on a European trip, because the year I joined, which was 2016, they had just come back from Europe and they were in Iceland, I think it was. So then obviously that was my first chance of European football with them, but the build up to it was just immense. Like, you just knew that this team was coming, and it was Solskjaer, and you didn't obviously really know who Haaland was at that stage, but you knew that they were going to be a top quality side. And the time they played us at Morrenview in the first leg, it was a tough game, and to be fair, the boys done well and held out and got the late goal and took us into the second leg. But then the second leg on their pitch and their stadium was unbelievable. So, and then their pitch was like a 3G pitch, so it was a very good pitch. And the second leg sort of just, you could tell by the quality that they had, then it sort of affected us later on in the second leg. And I think they scored like 3 goals in injury time or something. It ended 5-1 on aggregate, or in that game, sorry.
Could you tell how good Haaland was then? Because he got hooked, he got taken off in that game at Morrenview.
To be fair, he didn't play, he wasn't great in the first leg. I thought Andrew Doyle marked him out of the game, so he did. But the second leg, he didn't play because he was away with Norway under 21s, and he went and played and scored like 9 in one game or something. So you could tell he was going to be some player.
That's he's an incredible player. He's top finisher. Doesn't even have to play. Doesn't even have to play that well in the game. The score goes. He's going to be something special.
Yeah.
So you were at Glenavon a relatively long time, considering your age, and sometimes this can actually give fans a misconception of sort of how old you are. Because if you make your debut at 20, for example, you're then seen as a young player who's given time to stake their claim. But you made your debut at 16. There's always a risk of people going to expect you to be have the end product, which isn't really realistic. But how would you describe your overall time at Glenavon, given the fact that you were there so long?
At the first couple of years, I was only young, so I was just getting the experience and being able to train with the first team boys, and enjoyed it because you get to learn off players and understand other players. Like, players in my position, I would have learned techniques or something if they were making runs or how they would play. So I would watch them and try and understand their game. But I would have probably liked to have maybe stayed a bit longer and got more games under my belt at Glenavon. But unfortunately, things happen and just you have to move on, and that's just the way it is. But my years at Glenavon was probably 4 or 5, but I enjoyed all my years at Glenavon, and I can't really say a bad word about the club because the club was brilliant to me and they treated me well. But in the last year, my last year there, I didn't really play the first 6 months, and then I went on loan to Carrick. So that's just how things go, and you just have to learn from it and move on.
You went on loan to Carrick last season. Was that your decision? Did you ask for the move, or did they come to you and say, look, this is available for you?
No, they came to me, and Glenavon came to me and said that this was available. So I didn't really want to stay at Glenavon at this stage because I hadn't been playing and my head wasn't in the right space of mind of being there. And you're traveling down 45 minutes to go down and train and you're not enjoying it. And at times I felt like I didn't feel wanted in the team. So I thought the best option was for me was just to move on and go to Carrick just to get some game time and try and build a bit of confidence about myself again. Unfortunately, the Carrick loan didn't really end how I wanted because I didn't score as many goals and I didn't play as, or I didn't get as many starts as I would have liked, but that was a learning curve.
What happened to Carrick with the whole Niall Curry situation? Came as a shock? He just sort of left.
I didn't even know what was happening because we had just, I think it was the Port of Down game we were playing. And then he was out. We were waiting on him to come back in and talk to us after the match. Obviously, I think we were beat 2-1 or something. And he was out talking to the media. And then he came in and just said that he was leaving and him and his staff were stepping down. But I don't know what happened or the reasons why it happened or anything like that. So it was a big shock, to be fair, because Niall rated me very well. And when I joined Carrick, he told me that he had tried to get me at all the clubs that he had been at on loan for a certain amount of time, but it never happened. And then when I came to Carrick, he started me and after like 3 days of training, I think it was, and it was actually against the Glens. And the Glens beat us 2-0, and I think Jay got sent off. But I'd scored that game and it was disallowed. And then the weeks after, I was playing and was starting, but then I was missing chances. And then when you haven't played for 4 or 5 months, then it starts to get to you and you can tell that you're not up to the standard of what you need to be because you haven't played. So it was a learning curve for me, but it's a chance that I took and I was grateful to have it.
Did you know then when you were on loan at Carrick or then when your Carrick loan came to an end that you weren't going to return to Glenavon, or how did that?
Well, I sort of had a feeling from the start of the season when I was at Glenavon, when it was in the paper that I didn't accept the contract, and then it felt like that I wasn't going to be part of the team for the next year. So then I went to Carrick, and then that was just how it ended out.
So that comes in at Glenavon, but I want to talk about Gary Hamilton. He's one of the best players I've ever seen play for the Glens. He really bought in the Glentoran, and I know that like some of the managers that he played under and stuff said that he was hard to manage. He wasn't an easy player to manage, but what was he like as a manager?
He's straight with you. He just tells you how it is, and if you're not playing well and you're not doing the job, then he'll tell you why you're not playing or the reasons why you haven't been in the squad and all. So he was honest, and you would expect that from a manager anyway. So, but when I was playing well, and I think it was 2018 and 19, he came to me at the start of pre-season and said he wanted me to be the main striker. So then I felt like he had belief in me after all the years that I'd been trying my hardest to get into the team. And then that year, I think I went on to score, I think it was 7 in all competitions and had 8 assists. And that was probably one of my best seasons. But then after that, I just started gradually not getting into the team when other players were coming in and they were performing. And then I was finding hard to get myself back into the team. So, but Gary was, he was honest and he just told you how it was, and that's just the way it was. And you have to take it as he gives it to you.
So I first heard on the Sydney Man Terrace grapevine, as I would call it, that we were interested in signing you midway through your loan at Carrick. And I'd assumed that this was sort of like the Windy and Andy Matheson connection, because they obviously knew you and knew your ability. Yeah. Then you'd sort of just appeared in the squad photo before TNS. Yeah. And everyone was like, that's Jordan Jenkins. And then the Glens made an announcement on the website. How did the signing come about?
To be fair, before that TNS game, I'd been training with a team for maybe like a week or so before. So I thought it was going to be announced before the game, but it was announced like the day before the game. So I thought it would have been announced maybe a week before. But it was just all through Windy and Andy, because they knew obviously I was out of contract and I didn't have a club, and they showed the belief in me that they know what I can do and what I can bring to the team if I get my chance.
And how did it feel then, an East Belfast lad being, you know, Glentoran, I hear, were obviously flying at that stage as well, really. You're on the up, being interested in you.
Yeah, it was good because it's my local club. So, and it's obviously to play at the highest level in this country, you want to play for your local club as well. So it was good feeling to feel wanted by them. And it's my great-granda and my granda both took me to the Glens games when I was younger. So you always look up to it and say that I want to be on that pitch one day. And it's their dream to see me play for the Glens. So hopefully you'll get a few more chances for the rest of the season for them to come watch me.
And are you on a full-time contract with the Glens?
Yeah, I'm full-time.
So that must be pretty amazing then, going from playing part-time Glenavon Carrick to coming in and playing full-time at the Glens.
Yeah, it was. It was a big shock, to be fair, at the start. I knew it was going to be tough for me anyway, but from going to a Tuesday and Thursday training every day, basically. So I said to myself when I joined that I was just going to train every day, and if I have to play for the reserves for 5 to 6 months to get myself into the right shape and the right match fitness and the right sharpness and all, and get my confidence back, that it wouldn't bother me as much, because I'm 2 years what behind them, because they've been full-time for longer than what I've been, obviously. So, and the quality of the squad we have, then it means it was going to be harder for me to get in. So I'm enjoying full-time football, and it's brilliant, like, just being in every day, and you feel so much fitter and so much sharper and stronger. So I'm enjoying it.
And was it a conversation that Mick and Windy had with you whenever you joined? You know, this is your place in the team. You might have to play in the reserves. You might have to try and get yourself up to this level. Or was it, you know, how was it put to you when you signed?
They just said they wanted me to come in and be a part of the team, and that when my chance is there, it'll come. And that's how it was. But I didn't expect to be in. I wasn't coming into the team thinking, right, I'm going to be on the bench every week and I'm going to start or anything like that. I knew I was going to have to work my way up, because there's so many players in my position across the front three anyway. So it was going to be hard for me to come in and just take a place in the team or on the bench. So I knew myself, like, without them telling me, that I would have had to play reserves and train and do much more than what the other boys are doing, because I've only been in full time from July. So
did the array of attacking talent the Glens have put you off at all? Were you second guessing, thinking, should I go here with the players that they have at their disposal, or was it more of a encouragement to go there and try and prove yourself?
No, to be fair, I seen the talent that we have, and obviously there's a lot of attackers in my position. So, but I always believe in myself that I'm the best and I can prove that I'm the best. So I just go out and train as hard as I can. And this year, luckily enough, we have reserve games that I can go down and get my fitness and prove what I can do. So I always believe in myself, and it doesn't put me off. There's other players that are playing better in the first team.
Well, I think it's commendable, like, that you've went and had that experience of playing the first team for Glenavon and Carrick, and then you've came in and you're playing reserve football and you haven't let it get you down. You're sort of letting it, you're using it as a sort of encouragement to try and go and break into what is a really good first team.
I can't argue, like, because Jay's, 20 goals or more than 20 goals in all competitions. So it's not as if I can go and say to Mick and Windy and say, look, why am I not starting, or why am I not playing and all this here? Because when you look at the many goals that the front line have scored, then I can't really argue with it. But I just need to keep doing what I'm doing and banging in the goals for the reserves and training as hard as I can, and my chance will come.
I've been following you quite closely this season on, like, your reserve team games. It's difficult to keep track of how many goals you score for the seconds, because every single time I look on Twitter, you've scored. But let me just put it out there for the listeners. So you've played 14 games this season and you've scored 24 goals for the reserves, and I don't care what level of football anyone plays at, that's absolutely remarkable. And that's just, I doubt that that's better than too many leagues up and down the country, to be honest. You're quite clearly a standout player at that level. So what's it been like playing for the Seconds this season?
Well, it's good, because when I was at Glenavon in my last year, in Carrick in my last year, that there was no reserves, so you weren't able to drop down to get yourself fit or play a couple of games to get the confidence going. So I enjoy going down, playing reserves, and especially if you don't get into the team on the Saturday, then you have something to look forward to, because you've still got a match to look forward to go down and play. So I just go down to reserve games and just play the way I usually play and just go out and try and score as many goals as possible.
You've also, like, it was one of the coaches contacted me, because I asked a question on Twitter, and one of the coaches contacted me and sent me like a stat sheet.
I think I've seen that.
You scored, like, your shot, about 65% of your shots on target end up in the back of the net. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's a good ratio, to be fair.
And how does the setup at Glentoran then? So you're coming in full time. You've got the gym and stuff there. How's that compare being a full time footballer to playing at the likes of Carrick or Glenavon?
Well, when you're at Carrick and Glenavon, you're coming in on a Tuesday and a Thursday, and you're just having your training sessions, and then you're heading home. But we're at Glentoran, you're coming in, you could have a gym session in the morning, and then you go home and you come back, and then you train in the afternoon and you do a good session, and then there's like food and all after for you. So it's a complete professional setup, and it's far more than what I've ever been with at Glenavon and Carrick.
And is there players in the dressing room at the Oval that really are a positive influence? Like, there's some experience in that dressing room. You've got Luke McCulloch, who's played over in England, played at Man United. You've got Gail Bigger-Romana, who played and scored in the Premier League. You've even got players like Roy Donnelly, who've been at Swansea and the likes.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of positive people in the change room, and they've all got the experience. When you look at it, you've got Luke and Biggie, and you've the likes of Paddy and Jay, who's played in the league for so long. But and like Shannon, he's a very positive character in the change room. He's a leader in the change room as well. So there's a lot of, everyone's just positive in their own way and likes to be a leader on the pitch. So you can tell with the results and the way the team's playing that they're all leaders in their own way.
Everyone talks about Shannon Klukas, you know, who comes on the podcast. Every player, first team player I speak to, talks about Shannon Klukas and what a positive influence he is in the dressing room. And I think it's sort of like people have this opinion of him that he's a bit of a header, you know, from the outside, fans looking in. But he seems to be a proper stand-up player in the changing room.
Yeah, he is. To be fair, I never really knew who Shannon was, apart from you heard when he played at Dungannon and he had a couple of red cards or something. You would have knew about that, but I didn't really know him. And when I came into the changing room, he's always positive and he's always having a laugh with people, and he's just always smiling around the change room. And before matches and all, he's always giving out instructions and being a real leader in the change room, and it's good to see.
So what are your sort of hopes then for the future at Glentoran? Is it just a case of trying to bide your time and break into the first team, or do you have bigger ambitions than that? Or
I'll just keep biding my time until my chance comes, and when my chance comes, I'm going to be there to take it, because I'm feeling confident and I feel like I'm playing my best football at the minute anyway with playing reserves, and I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and we'll see what happens.
And the feeling in around the squad at the minute, the first team squad, there's bound to be, because obviously it was quite, Mick was saying, he said in a few interviews now that after one of the 3-0 defeats, or maybe it was a draw, Portadown, he said that the players all got together and had their own discussions about what needs to change. And it's obviously had a positive influence because things have changed and we're on such a good run. What's the feeling like in around the squad at the minute?
Yeah, I think we needed that chat in the change room together when things weren't going well. So then we got together and everyone had their piece to say and what the thought that had to change and what they needed to do differently. And you can tell it's had a positive influence, because I think from then we've went on that 12-game unbeaten run. So it's good that it happened, because you wouldn't have wanted it to carry on for longer than what it did. But everything's going well at the minute, so hopefully it continues.
Well, this is it. Last season, we had this barren run at the start of the season where we gave ourselves a massive uphill struggle. And then we went on the run and we got ourselves right back into contention. Had it not been for that run, we probably would have won the league. So we didn't let it go on as long this season. So we can only remain positive.
Yeah, 100%. Like, we'll just take one game as it is, or one game at a time, and we'll just see what happens after every game, and we'll just try and pick up as many points as possible, and then we'll see where the season takes us.
I was looking at the reserve team fixtures, and it's strange because it's the Linfield game, the reserve Linfield game. If you're not in the first team squad, you'll obviously be with the seconds, and they're actually playing at the same time as the Glens.
See, I don't know if that'll... I don't know whether that'll still happen, because sure, they've got that Stealing Sons Cup on Christmas Day. So,
ah, right, okay.
So it could still happen because reserves have played Saturday, Monday before, but I don't know what way Niffle will work that or what'll happen. So if I'm not in the squad, then it's good to go down and get a game. And if it doesn't go ahead, then I'm there to watch the Boxing Day game. So
happy days.
When either way. In the squad.
Yeah, hopefully you are.
Hopefully.
So that brings us to an end of the podcast, Jordan. I just want to say thanks so much. It's been really, really interesting to speak to you, because usually you come bring a player on here and they go through the motions of they've gone from youth to first team and then they're stuck in the first team. Whereas you've obviously taken the decision to come to Glentoran, train full time. You're absolutely flying for the reserves and trying to stake your claim. So I think a young players, it's sort of like inspirational for other young players, because they can then look at you and say, look, if it doesn't work out at a club and you're in a first team, you can take a step and try and work your way into another team. It doesn't have to be first team all the time. You don't even have to drop down to the championship. You can try and stake your claim. So fair play.
Thank you. You just have to be positive. Where last year when I was going to Carrick, I wasn't positive about the season. So I was debating whether I was going to stop playing or not. And I had a conversation with my family about it, but then I thought, I'll just go to Carrick, see how I go, and then see what the season brings. And ever since, I've just been positive about what the rest of my career obviously will take me, and we'll just see what'll happen.
Well, here's hoping you get a few winners' medals at the end of the season to sort of make up for that move. And
let's hope.
Wishing you all the best. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Cheers.